Is the weather hot enough for you? Do you think it's too hot?
No.
You know, I have news for you. It gets hotter in hell. So the thing is to make sure you don't go to hell. Right. I want you to open up your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. I'll give you a second to open up your Bibles. And I get... I'm sharing a word, some of my own stuff, and using some of Carter Conlon's material too. Carter Conlon, as you know, is one of my favourite preachers, and I use a lot of his material, so I like to give credit of where I get my information from as well. So glory to God. And he gave me permission to use it as well. And he sends his love and his regard. He's sorry he can't be with us, but he's retired. He's retired early. He retired at 71. So now, do we have it? According to the grace of God, and we had grace this morning already, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul was essentially saying, I brought you the real Jesus. I have laid a foundation of truth for you as the people of God. The real Jesus will never fail you. He will not forsake you. He'll walk with you through the fire. Whatever you go through, he promises to go through with you. It is important to hold on to this truth, for we are entering a difficult season as a society that is not unlike the ones people of previous times had to pass through. You see, there have been times throughout history when the world became hostile to the word of God, the presence of God, and ultimately to the people of God. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the social conditions in such a season in Isaiah 59, verses 4 and verses 14 to 15. When he states, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Justice is turned back. The righteous stand afar off, for the truth is fallen in the street. The iniquity cannot enter, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. At this time, the people of God were about to come under persecution, because they had dealt casually with God's word. And as in Romans in chapter 1 warns us, when any nation deals falsely with the truth, they are given over to a depraved mind, and they bring to do everything that a sinful heart of man has always longed to do apart from God's restriction. We spoke about this in the last couple of sermons as well. They call that which is unholy holy, and they begin to call that which is good evil. Furthermore, the culture itself turns against those who believe that God's word is the standard of truth. Many of you today cannot speak the truth of God's word in your workplace. And as soon as you do, you're considered a hater. You could be even in danger of losing your employment. Sadly, the word of God warns that the true gospel will be attacked in the last days. For without as well as from within the Protestant Church. Many people do not realize that the gospel has been attacked for the last decade in our nation. We're just waking up and beginning to realize what has been happening. Paul said to his young prodigy, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Does that sound like a day we're living in today? And the interesting thing about turning aside to fables is that it does not necessarily refer to lies. The Greek word, I hate this when a preacher goes into the meaning of a word, but this is interesting. So, Lila, it's the Greek word simply means good stories. There will be lust for entertainment in the house of God. Many people will begin to gather around storytellers rather than preachers of the gospel. I hear this across the country where the gospel is not preached anymore in churches. These stories will have a moral to themselves, and they might even bring you to tears. But if they're not the word of God, they have no power to transform anyone's life. Paul says in his letter to Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 to 4, but I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, what he's saying, I fear you've been so open to entertainment that somebody might come and present to you another Jesus. Ladies, I want to take you shopping. You know the Dundrum Shopping Centre and the Blanchardstown Shopping Centre? There's two new shops open up there. And it's called Build-A-Bear. Right? You go in there with your kids and you select the bear and you build it bit by bit. The first thing you do is you pick up an image of a bear that appeals to you. Does that sound familiar? Many churches across the world have been just franchise operation of Build a Jesus. You pick an image of Jesus that you like, and then you find the church that caters for it. After selecting an image, the next thing you do is choose the stuffing. Just like you might get to choose what goes inside this Jesus that you're building. In some parts of the Bible, it seems a little bit too hard. You get to eliminate it and put in all the soft stuff, there is said, all the nice fluffy words. Then you choose his eyes, what he decides to see, and perhaps overlook sin. Next, you choose his heart. You can even write things on the heart of your Build-A-Bear. So let's take out all the warnings about sin and anything that makes you uncomfortable. And lastly, you get to record your vice and put it inside the bear. So when you pull the string, it says what you wanted to say. And when you pull the string of your builder Jesus, his voice sounds a lot like you. Does that sound like some of the doctrines that be going around this nation? Jesus says in John 14, verse 8, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You cannot get to the Father except through Jesus, the real Jesus. There is no genuine security in this world. If you have a builder Jesus in your heart, there is only one Jesus that will survive the coming fire. Remember, you and I are going into a season of trial. Barry and I have warned you from this pulpit over many a year. And Barry's saying was, the cheer up is going to get worse. The world as we know it is launching a wholesale and perhaps a final rebellion against the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This law, you turn on the news every day and it's all you're hearing about people being murdered, people being raped, people being, and the lawlessness is not going to get better. The deception is going to get deeper. There's going to be a revulsion against Christ and the people of God that will intensify until the Lord himself returns and intervenes. And the sooner he does for us, the better. I tell you this today because I do not want you to burn in the fire. I do not want you to find out at some point that the Jesus you have embraced is not the real Jesus. Remember our opening scripture when Paul said, the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. A trial will test the Jesus that you've laid hold of. I understand this from some of the experiences in my own life. Pam and I have gone through the fire, the loss of things. We've gone through a flood. We've gone through sicknesses and trials. But by the grace of God, the real Jesus has walked with us through it all. If you have a living relationship with the Son of God, nothing and no one can triumph over you. In the book of Daniel, we read about a season when a king called Nebuchadnezzar, excuse me if I pronounce him wrong, but you know who I mean, decided he was going to erect an image of himself and command the people to bow down to it. We see this in Daniel 3, verses 5 to 6. At that time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, palmistry, in symphony with all kind of music. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Does that sound like the day we are living in? Once again, fallen man says, we will tell you what the truth is. We will tell you what society should look like. And you will agree with us. You will bend. You will bow. And you will do it our way. And if you don't, it's going to get exceedingly hot for you. Three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sat over the affairs of the province of Babylon. That means they had a great income. They had influence and authority. And suddenly, in the midst of all this, they had to make a choice. The same as we have to do today, we have to make a choice. Do we bow to this other image, or do we hold to the truth image of God? And the report came that these three young men refused to bow to the culture order of the day. Nebuchadnezzar called them in and said in Daniel 3, verses 14 to 15, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the gold image which I set up? Now, if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And he answered the king in verse 17 and 18. If that is what is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the gold image that you have set up. So the king, in his fury, commanded the furnace be heated 7 times hotter, so hot that it killed the people that threw the three young men into it. But suddenly, he said to his counselors in verse 25, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. This is my point. The real Jesus doesn't burn, nor do those who are in his hand. The flames of fire could not touch the Hebrew boys. Each of us too must decide today, who will we serve? Even Joshua in the book, in the Old Testament, stood before the people and asked them, who do you want to serve? He sees in Joshua 24, verse 15. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. If you're serving a bill of Jesus, then you will probably have no problem bowing the knee to what the government and authorities are. And when you pull your string, your Jesus tell you it's okay to do that. But remember, it is not the voice of the Son of God, but rather your own selective truth. The choice is yours. Whom do you serve? I want you to stand today and declare, as it did in Joshua day, when Joshua asked the people, whom do you serve? And they all shouted back, we will serve the Lord. So I want you to stand, and I'm going to ask you where you are, whom do you serve? We will serve the Lord. Sorry, I didn't hear that. We will serve the Lord. Now glory to God, and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.